and things like that. Thank you. Done a lot of eating at home and grilling out. Well, last night, my wife got these steaks, and they were perfect little fillets that she got from a parent of a child, and she wanted to prepare them. So I set up the grill, and I seared the meat, the first side of it, and then I flipped them, and she said she really wanted to take over, so I went inside the house. Sat down, was watching something on TV, and just like in the summer, you know, we're grilling out, we're having a good time, mom's over there. I tried to talk Bill into staying for dinner, but he didn't want to. He had other plans, which is a shocker that I could not get Bill to stay over for dinner. Anyway, you can razz him about that a little bit. Anyway, my wife runs in the house and runs upstairs and gets a squirt bottle, runs back outside. I'm thinking, well, okay, you know how it is sometimes on the grill when the flame kind of comes up and you want to squirt that down. And well, she did that, and she came back in about 30 seconds later and says, Tony, I need you outside right now. So I run out there, and I'm serious. I told Grant this morning, I shared this story with the rest of the guys here, that I had, you know, 3 to 4 feet of black smoke in my garage, and the grill was on fire. Praise the Lord, she took the steaks off the grill first, so they didn't burn up. But I, you know, it was close to burning the house. I mean, it was close to the motorcycle. It was close to the car that was parked in the driveway, so we moved all that stuff out. I got the water hose out. We got that thing taken care of, and so it was amazing, but it was amazing that we didn't burn the house down. So we had that event happen. But, you know, I was thinking about that a little bit last night, and then we were watching the news, and I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of fires, metaphorically speaking, raging right now. Not only are we still dealing with the reopening of certain businesses and the way we're going to reopen businesses and the church, how it's going to reopen, and all the things that go into that, but now you've got this thing that happened in Minneapolis. I think it was Minneapolis, Minnesota, where this fellow was arrested, and then he ended up dying as a result of some techniques that were used on him. But I just think of, you know, I didn't even realize this. I've been so out of touch with working nights and evenings and things like that, and not really watching a lot of news. I thought, you know, people are distressed right now. You've got a situation with COVID-19 where people are at home and they're not getting out as much as they're normally used to getting out. And then you have something like this happen. Where this man was essentially killed as a result of some tactics used by a police officer in, I believe it was Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then you've got the outcry for that. And we could argue about, you know, the criminality of all that. But the reality is people are on edge. And they're kind of, it's kind of manifesting itself in a lot of very odd ways. I've noticed that on the job. We do a lot of work for Fifth Third Banks, and just customers are on edge. They're having to use the drive-up more than they ever have before. Older folks that are not really used to navigating their large cars in there and knocking things over and hitting things, and that's creating stress. And there's just a lot of stress out there. So before we get into the meat of the lesson today, we need to know that we have a faithful God regardless of what's going on in our lives and regardless of what's going on in the world around us. I've got some personal stories I'll share throughout this time we're going to have together as it relates to COVID-19. But if you could bow your heads with me before we get started, and then we'll get right into the meat of the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father God, we do thank you that we are taken care of by you. Father, we have that to be thankful for. We can trust in that. We're talking about some things at the bank. Well, we can take that to the bank. That's something that we know we have in you. And Father, there's some families in our church that are dealing with a lot of issues. Some are dealing with one or two big issues, but there are some families in our church, Lord, that are dealing with a lot of issues all at once. Financial pressures, Lord, marital pressures, kid pressures with school and everything. Father, we just see pressure everywhere in our society right now. People being short-tempered. I'm short-tempered. I'm on edge. More so than would be normal. Father, we need to have the confidence in you that you are a faithful God no matter what the circumstance. And no matter what the myriad of circumstances that we may be dealing with in our life, you are there for us. You are there to strengthen us, to guide us, to be there for us. Lord, in some ways, you just want us to acknowledge the fact that you have got all this. Fathers, we open up your word today. We talk about a couple of stories that are related to this, the time that we're going through right now, the stress that's out there. I just pray that you calm our hearts. Lord, calm my heart today. I need it. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. All right, I've got a story to share. This ain't about almost burning down the house. Me and my son last week had an opportunity. We almost never get this opportunity to work on a project that I've gotten in my job. But there is a small branch. It's like a converted ranch-style home in Rockville, Indiana. And they've got one drive-through lane. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Rockville, Indiana before, but they have a Covered Bridge Festival there, and it's a nice little quaint little town. But it's a Fifth Third Bank. Their Fifth Third Bank, there is a converted residential home that has literally one drive-up. Well, with them not letting people in, obviously that one little drive-up is getting a lot of activity. So much activity that one person ran into the load post on it. And it's only got two posts that hold up the awning that goes through the drive-through. Well, this thing was bent all to pieces. I mean, it was kind of caved in and split at the bottom. And I thought, you know, when I first looked at the job, I thought, man, this thing is really messed up. This is teetering here. Surely there's a support post on the inside of this hollowed out shell. And I'll describe that here in a minute. And I got a light down and I looked up in there. I could find no support post. There was literally no support post. And I thought to myself, how on earth is this flimsy aluminum column? And you'd have to see it, but it's 8 inches in diameter, basically hollow all the way through the middle. The metal can't be more than 1/16 of an inch thick. But here it is, it's holding up this awning. Well, I did some research on this post. The way these posts are designed, even though they're very thin, and believe it or not, they come in three sections. So you've got very thin metal that comes in three sections, and they just snap together. You would think this thing would be so flimsy it couldn't hold up anything. But after doing some research, I found out that this post is engineered to hold 22,000 pounds of weight. 22,000 pounds of weight. And here's this. I go buy these new ones to go in because they want to replace it with exactly what we have. And they're thin. They're flimsy. You know, 1/60 of an inch thick. It's not much. But when they're put together and they're put in place and they're put together correctly, they're extremely strong. And I thought, you know, Alex and I went out there and we tore out these old ones and we put the new ones in. We did put some more support posts in the middle of it just to add that extra level of security, especially for the bank during this time where people are running into them. It'd be nice to know they wouldn't end up on a car, but I thought to myself, now how's this relatable to where we're at today? How's it relatable to me as a Christian? And it dawned on me that, you know, by ourselves, we're pretty flimsy. When we do what God wants us to do, we're strong as a result of it. When we're put together right by the master engineer, if you will, and that's God, and we're doing the things that we should be doing, We're not over here doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're snapped together right. We're put together right. We're in God's word. We're praying. We're seeking after him for guidance. And we're on the straight path. Then we're strong as long as we're with him. When we get broken and we get tore apart, we're weak because we're not where we should be. And I just thought, what a perfect word picture for today's lesson, because we have a God that we can fully rely on. We have God's word that we can fully rely on. We can call on him anytime we need to call on him. He's there for us. He's there for us. His Holy Spirit indwells within us. His Holy Spirit is making petition with the Father on our behalf, even when we don't know what to pray. And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But the bottom line is, we do have a faithful God. Even though around us it seems like everything is falling apart. I don't know your situation. I had a neighbor, and with this, and this will be my last story before we get into the meat of the lesson, but I had a neighbor, we didn't know they were sick. My neighbor across the street, Tom and Vicky, both were tested COVID-19 positive. Their son was tested COVID-19 positive. They've been well now for 2 weeks. I asked Tom, I said, Tom, what was it like having COVID-19? He said, well, I ran a fever for about 2 weeks. I stayed in bed for about 2 weeks. He said, that was basically it. I did have a cough. And then Vicky said, well, she was down for about a week. And then Thomas, their 18-year-old son who just graduated from Franklin Central High School, he was sick for about 3 or 4 days, something like that. And then Jada, their daughter, did not show any symptoms whatsoever. She probably had it, but was asymptomatic. So all glory to God for that situation. But I thought to myself, you know, we had these neighbors across the street that had this thing. We didn't know anything about it. Of course, I did notice that I didn't see him out very much, except for the last couple of weeks before. They had family coming in and helping them and things like that. But God is a faithful God. This is a family I have tried to witness to over the years, and just pray for them. He would be willing to come to church. As a matter of fact, he came to church with me one time at the old building. But she kind of refuses because of her faith. She's from Asian descent. I'm not exactly sure what sect, and I apologize for not knowing that, but she has some other religious beliefs, and they're not Christian. So continue to pray for them. All right, if we can open up God's word to Jeremiah chapter 32. I think it's important for us to take stock in who God is. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. In verse 17 says, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. So when you're getting ready to have a meltdown over what God has entrusted to you, just remember who your God is. Let's read it again. O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. You know, Pastor several weeks ago gave out all these statistics about the universe and the expanse of the universe and how big it was. I remember a couple years back when the last time I had an opportunity to preach on a Sunday morning, we talked a little bit about how, you know, the earth travels at 66,000 miles an hour, 93 million miles from the sun in an elliptical orbit. We don't feel anything because, you know, with zero gravity and constant speed, you're not going to feel anything. But just think about that. The fact that we're traveling over 500,000 miles an hour in an elliptical orbit, our solar system is around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And, you know, God did all this. Is there nothing on this planet that he can't help us with? Isaiah 41:10, if you'll please turn there with me. Isaiah 41:10. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is who our God is. We can count on him. Not during the easy stuff, not just during the ultra hard stuff, but everything in the middle. He wants to be there for us. Isaiah 41:10, he says, I will, three times, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the kind of God we have. Someone who's there all the time. There was a friend of mine who is really, really suffering right now. He has a wife that has something that's called Wegener's disease. I don't really understand everything there is to know about that disease. It is a pulmonary disease. And he started texting me about, I want to say about 5 weeks ago, something like that, 5 or 6 weeks ago. And I kept getting these texts. And, you know, here's a guy who I brought up religion to. I've known him for probably 15 years. And we've done work off and on. Last couple jobs, we finished a Finish Line shoe store for him. But he doesn't talk about faith. He doesn't really want to talk about that kind of stuff. Like I said, I've taken the opportunity to bring it up to him. His name's Jeff. And the interesting thing about Jeff and everybody else, when you have something deeply personal that's going on in your life, you're going to be looking for answers somewhere. And Jeff, his wife, became ill, and she was hospitalized with COVID-19 with the pulmonary problem that she has. It just is extraordinarily complicated her healing process. So they had to put her on a ventilator, and they had to put her on what is called an ECMO machine, which takes the blood outside the body, oxygenates it, puts it back in, so it will allow her organs to get the oxygen that they need, because along with this disease, you know, it's organ tissue can die and different complications. So I know just enough about it to be dangerous, so I'm not going to get into the tall weeds of it, even for what I know. But the bottom line is, she was fighting really, really hard against this virus. And he was reaching out to me. I'm sorry. He's reaching out to me to pray for him. And I don't know if Jeff's a Christian. I know his wife is Catholic, and she comes from a Catholic background, so I know that she knows about the Lord, she knows about Jesus Christ. I'm not sure whether she's saved or not. But, you know, even as Christians, God puts us in a place where he's allowing trials to come into our life to draw us to himself. And sometimes he puts us in a position where we're the one attacking the enemy. Sometimes he allows the enemy to attack us a little bit. But he's trying to do something with that. Isaiah 21, which is basically, and I won't have you turn there today, but Isaiah 21 talks about this double-edged threshing sledge. And sometimes God puts us in a position to where we're getting pounded by this like double-edged threshing sledge, which it basically is a metaphor for the nation of Israel that was in Egypt. And he was trying to put pressure on them and tear away the bad things in their life and separate the grain. It was a great metaphor for them back then, because about a third of everything that they ate and consumed had something to do with grain. So what this threshing sledge is, it's like a pallet, if you will, with a bunch of drilled holes in it. And they used to stick rocks and bone and different things in it. And then they would drag it across the grain, and it would tear apart the useless stuff so they could get to the meat that had value and had nutrition. Well, sometimes God uses us to be that, to separate, to go after our enemies and to say, hey, you can't have that. That you can't have that as a stronghold. My God is bigger than that. He's given me this strength that only comes from Him. But you know, sometimes when we're here and this buddy of mine is there, his wife is sick. They've got two daughters. There's a mom and a dad who's still living that are, you know, grieving over their daughter. She's got a couple sisters and a brother-in-law, and there's stress in their family. How many of you can relate to that? Stress in your family. It just seems like it never gives up. It sometimes can be relentless. And I know some of you with work stress and different things like that that you've got going on in your life because of the virus and because of other things, you just need some relief. You need to know that God hears you and God can grant you the peace that you need. But sometimes, honestly, even as a Christian, sometimes it can seem like that peace is so far away and you can't reach it. You need it, but you cannot reach it. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And this is a familiar passage of God's Word. Before I get to Philippians, Isaiah 41, 10 through 16, I want to get down to the verse 15. It says, Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them and will make the hills like chaff. That's separating the wheat and the grain from the chaff, right? God wants to use you like that. But you're going to have to tear away and allow Him to remove the things in your life that keep you from being all the things you could be for Him. And yes, the stress of what's going on in our life and in our society right now, sometimes it can seem like it's way too much for us to handle. You know, one blessing that God has given me is some work in a time where I've got some customers that have called me and said, we're shutting everything down. We're not doing anything until this virus is over with, until we get a handle on it. We've got businesses that are going out of business. We've got people calling in. I had one particular property management company that called me up, and they said, this was 2 months ago now, but they said a third of our clients said that they're not going to be able to make the rent and lease payment. A third. This company has millions of square footage on the north side of Indianapolis, and they've got a third of their clients calling in and saying, my heart goes out to the property management company, but it also goes out to all those businesses that can't make their payment. Now, that's stress. Health-related stuff is a stress. Jeff, this friend of mine, is dealing with stress. He's dealing with his wife being sick, not knowing whether or not she's going to be well. People not being able to pay their bills. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like those health, family stresses. There's nothing like a wayward child running away from the Lord and those stresses. There's nothing like, not quite like, not being able to pay your bills on time and put food on the table and the different things that go on. But think about that and having multiple of those things going on in your life at the same time. And I know some of you families out there are dealing with multiple things going on. The stress of a job, the stress of a child that's not where they should be for the Lord. There's no stress like multiple stresses like that. But God is a faithful God. There's no doubt about that. He is there for us. So my whole thing, I'm trying to encourage Jeff every way I can. It's hard though, because he doesn't have a basis for reaching out to a God that loves him. He doesn't have that in his life. But we as Christians, we have that in our life. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And this is anytime you have stress in the home, and this is a passage, I'm not going to go back to the original story for time's sake, but we're going to deal with the way that they were to deal with disagreement. In Philippians chapter 4, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let me just stop right there. When you're stressed out and you have multiple things going on in your life, the last thing you want to have naturally within the natural man is a gentle spirit. I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm stressed out and I got a lot of stuff going on, my natural tendency is to lash out. And a lot of times it's to lash out at the people that I love and I care for. How stupid is that? But that's the way we're wired. Our sin nature loves to do things that we shouldn't do and doesn't love to do things that we should do. The Apostle Paul said it best. I won't turn there, but he said, you know, the things that I know I shouldn't do, those are the things that I do. The things that I know I should do, those are the things that I struggle with. Well, let me tell you something. If the Apostle Paul's struggling with it, you probably are going to also. And I can certainly see myself struggling with that on a regular basis. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 again. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, to be able to be in a place where that's possible, that is not possible without God. That is not possible without the Lord in your life. That is not possible for getting some things in your life. It's just like that aluminum tube that looks so flimsy. By one piece by itself, you could have swore it wouldn't hold me up, much less 22,000 pounds. But three of them together, God's word, an awesome prayer life, everything together, it's as strong as you need to be. Reading further, the Lord is near, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's go back just a little bit. When I hear that people, we shouldn't be anxious, there shouldn't be anxiety in anything, when I hear that, I think, how is that even possible? It's not humanly possible. It's only possible with the help of the Lord. It's only possible. Talk to me about some times when we didn't know where the next job was coming from, and the business was struggling in 2012 and 2009 and leading up to 2008, or 2008 leading up to 2009. My goodness, the stress was on a high level. You know what? And as I look back, God had all that figured out. God had all that figured out. I had none of it figured out. But I was stressed because I didn't know how God was going to figure it out. That's where the whole trust and faith come in. God wants us to trust Him, have faith in Him, and lean totally on Him. But it's hard to do that sometimes. But that's the only way we're going to get the peace that God says He can give to us, which surpasses all comprehension and understanding. You got that right. It does pass it. Because we don't comprehend what we don't know and cannot know. He wants us to trust Him for the future. He wants us to fully rely on Him. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren. And then I love this passage because then God focuses our thoughts on what we should be thinking about. You know, He tells us not to be anxious. He tells us to get on our face. And He tells us in supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then he tells us, okay, those are the things that you'll think about if you want to be all stressed out and do all this. If you want to sit and be consumed by this, that's fine. But I have a better way. In verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or good reputation, is there any excellence? Is there anything worthy of praise? Dwell on these things. Well, at the end of that passage, I thought to myself, well, I can appreciate what you're saying, Lord. I wish I could just turn a switch on and just totally forget about the things and leave it up to you for the things that I don't know about and only dwell on the things that I do know about that meet this criteria here in verse 8 where it says whatever is true and whatever is honorable and whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Just think on this stuff. Don't think on that bad stuff. Don't think on the stuff that you're having anxiety about. Just think on the good stuff that you've got with me. You've got eternal life. I think Christians sometimes, and I can be guilty of this a little bit, so I'm pointing the finger right back at me. Sometimes I treat God as though eternity starts when I pass from this life to the next life. And I think we're selling God short. Eternity for the believer started when they bowed the knee. When they accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and they started on a new road. That's where eternity started for the believer. We can trust Him for the rest of our lives, for all eternity, including the things that would happen in this life. Forget about the next right now. We're dealing with this life that we have. We have a job to do. One thing we can do is be an example to those around us, because you start living your life through the filter of Philippians 4, 5 through 8, I'm telling you, the world around you will take notice of that, and you'll make a difference. You'll make a huge difference. I told you about 15, 20 minutes ago, I started telling you a little bit about Jeff and the things that were going on in his life, his wife. I wish that story had a happy ending. I wish it had a happy ending. I went to that funeral for her this Wednesday. And I saw a man who doesn't know the Lord give a eulogy about his wife that was so God-honoring, even though he knew nothing about the Lord. You know what we've got to do? And he called me on Tuesday, and he said, Tony, I need you to pray for me because I've got to give the eulogy at my wife's funeral tomorrow. And I said, Jeff, I can't imagine what you're going through right now. I can't imagine what your two daughters are going through, ages 24 and 23. Tracy was 45 years of age. That's how old Jeff is. She went into a COVID-19 floor about 6 weeks ago, spent 5 weeks on a ventilator and an ECMO machine. The last ditch effort was to give her COVID-19 antibodies by plasma, by blood transfusion. She got marginally better over the next week or so, and then started trailing back the other way again. Tracy is in her life after this one today. I don't know if she knew the Lord at all. She does come from a Catholic background, but I know Jeff is hurting right now. But the thought of him ever asking me to pray for him, that was... that would have never happened had this tragedy not befallen him, I don't believe. So can God take even a horrible set of circumstances to bring glory and honor to himself and to draw people to himself? Absolutely. I did a little study on the whole idea of supplication. You know, prayer and supplication are two different things. We pray for a lot of things. We can praise God. We can thank him for everything that he's done for us. But supplication is something different. I looked up several definitions. This is the one I kind of like the best that I think is a little bit more true to Scripture. There's a whole lot of definitions out there on what supplication is. But asking or begging for something earnestly and humbly. You know, Pastor Jonathan calls it fervent prayer. When you're actually on your face before God, and you're just crying out to him, you're begging him. Look, we have a God that loves us. When he says that we should enter and we should pray in this particular way, bring your prayer and supplication before the Lord with thanksgiving. Yeah, we need to do that. We need to be on our face. And you know what? If we have a hard time doing that in a way that we think is God-honoring, then we need to be on our face about that. Lord, I don't pray the way I should. I don't call on you the way that I should. I don't thank you the way that I should thank you. I don't love you the way that I should. I don't live my life the way that I should, according to your word. I'm not saying you can't fail every once in a while. I'm talking about, look, we all fail. We all fall short, right? We all fall short. But this whole idea of just keeping a close account with the Lord and making him a part of our lives daily, sometimes by the hour, depending on what you have going on in your life. We've got to get this thing right. Matthew 6, if you'll turn with me to Matthew 6, this is the kind of God we have. It says Matthew 6, starting out in verse 6. Matthew 6, starting out in verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room and close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not do meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for all their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask anyway. Anyway was added by me. Look, God knows what you have need of. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear you think it and hear you word it and hear you talk to him about it. He's a faithful God. He wants to be faithful to you. He wants you to see him as faithful. He's already a faithful God. He's not working hard at it. That's just who he is. In James 5, verses 13 and 18, and I'm going to go a little fast right now for time's sake. You don't need to necessarily look that up. I'll read the passage I want to look up. James 5, chapter 5, verses 13 and 18. And really, it's really toward the end of the passage, and I'll skip down to verse 17. In verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now here's a guy with faith. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. Then he prayed that it would rain. This is who Elijah was. He believed. How much do you think he believed God could do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it? And he would answer his prayers. Elijah was a prayer warrior. In Romans 8, and we'll end with this passage. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to read part of the beginning of it. And then we'll conclude. Romans 8, 18. For I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Oh, to live our lives through that lens. I don't care what's going on in your life. The Apostle Paul says, for I considered that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is a heavenly perspective on this life. We need a heavenly perspective on this life. We cannot be consumed by the trials of this life. And yeah, while people are, it's anarchy in the street. We've got COVID-19 going on. Some of us aren't working as much as we need to pay our bills. While people are throwing rocks through mall windows and taking sledgehammers and bats to police cars and things like that around the country during a pandemic. Are you kidding me? These are the kinds of things that people are focused on. Verse 24 of this passage, Romans 8, 24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen or what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Isn't it nice to know that we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit that is talking to God the Father on our behalf, even though we're not really sure what to pray? He knows what to pray on our behalf. But the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And verse 28 is very familiar. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purposes, or His purpose. Look, it's just like everything in life. Everything in life is easier said than done. As Christians, we need to be about doing it, getting it right, loving people the way we should, not being anxious for the things that God has, and knowing and understanding that God has everything we need under control. He's got your life under control. He's there. He's interceding. The Holy Spirit, even when we're dysfunctional as Christians, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Isn't that good to know? Isn't it good to know that we have a Father that's crossed off every box possible in our life, past, present, and future? He's got it. We need to trust Him for it. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. If you could bow your heads with me, wherever you're at, as the band comes forward, I would like you to just talk to the Lord and just ask Him to help you in the areas of your spiritual development that you need help in. Ask Him to please help you to love the way you should love, to trust the way you should trust, to believe the way you should believe, to pray more effectively. I'll close this in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank You We thank you for everything that you allow to come into our life, Lord. Even though it feels sometimes we're being pulverized, if you will. We're being ground down like that grain. But Lord, you do that to us so that we can be more of what you want us to be. And Father, help us in the day where we can go on the attack for you. Help us in those moments where we can tamp down the devil and sin nature within us that's trying to take us away from the things that we need to be doing, the attitudes that we need to have. Father, I thank you for what you've done in my life. And Lord, you know I don't get these things right all the time. But Father, I do thank you so much that you're a faithful God and that I don't necessarily have to get them right all the time. You love me in spite of me. You love us in spite of us and who we are and how we fall short. Father, help us to understand that we can trust you. We can take you to the bank. Your word is true. You love us. There's nothing you would withhold from us. Father, I thank you for what you'll do through the reading and studying of your word. It's in your Son's precious name that we pray.